As you know, we've been following a series called Living for God in a New Land. We have been looking back at Israel's history to see what we can learn for our lives today. So in this passage, it is talking about a very difficult time in Israel's history. They've been carried against their will to another culture, very different from their own. They've disobeyed God's laws, and he's allowed them to be taken to Babylon. Now, just as an aside, Babylon is 700 miles away from their home, and it would have taken them, this is according to Google, 12 days and nights to walk to get there. So that's just an interesting fact. It's like God is saying to them, I'm giving you time out. Try again to follow my laws. Live and settle in this new place. Invest in this place. Encourage it to grow. They were in a foreign land, one that had very different ways of doing things to the law that God has given them to follow. They could have had a right sulk. A little bit like this picture. She's on the naughty step, but there is a definite look of defiance on her face. But God was saying, don't sit back and wait until you're released back home. Show the people in this strange land how amazing I am. They were told to build and grow and seek peace and prosperity of the city. Not just waiting for a tricky situation to change, but living fully for God in it while hoping and waiting for their future back home. Now, when I first read this passage, it seemed to be saying to me, live long and prosper, in the words of Star Trek, if those who remember it. But the words prosper seemed to jump out at me in two different places. And I would normally equate prosperity with money in my head. But in the context of the rest of the Bible, I don't believe it's about a financial stability. If we read the Psalms and Proverbs, they seem to be saying seeking wisdom and following God's laws will bring you prosperity. And in the New Testament, seeking a relationship with Jesus is the main priority for life. So let's read again Jeremiah 29:7 and verses 11. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So we're to pray for prosperity of our land, and God will give us prosperity. This is a promise from God. But if we compare it to the rest of the lives of people in the Bible, they didn't really have easy lives. John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus was killed at 33. Stephen was stoned to death. James was martyred, Paul was put in prison, and John was exiled, and that's just a few of them. So maybe prospering isn't about living wealthy and healthy, nice, settled lives. They all had very hard lives on earth, but they and we are promised a hope and a future. So what kind of prosperity is God talking about? Let's look at some more of God's promises in the Bible and see if we can work it out. There's many, many, many promises in the Bible. I've just pulled out some. These ones seem to be talking about the fact that God is good. So in Psalm 100, it says the Lord is good and his love endures forever. In James, it says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And in Samuel, it says, Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy. And you have promised these good things to your servant. The next set of promises are saying to us that God is with us. In Deuteronomy, it says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. In Joshua, it says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we know in Psalm 23, the Lord talks about being with us. And the next set of verses I've pulled out about God providing for us. So in Matthew 6, it says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? But your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. And in Proverbs 3, that famous verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And in Romans 8, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? And then some promises from Jesus. I will give you rest, it says in Matthew 11. And Jesus quotes from Isaiah when he says, I have been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and a release from darkness for prisoners. And in John again, he says, I will be with you forever. And my favourite verse in John 10:10 talks about, I have come that you might have life and life to the full. So it appears that God is not saying prosperity is financial stability and an easy life. But he is saying, I am good. I am trustworthy. I will provide for you. I will lead you. I will give you a full life. And the big one is, I will never leave you. As we know, our world is not following God's laws, but God still says to us today, follow my ways. Bring my prosperity to your current land and invest in it. In Peter 1, chapter 2, it says, we are chosen, royal priesthood, God's special possession. And dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. So how do we live? We are to live the lives God has given us to live and reflect him in everything we do. So what does that look like in our context? If we look at the areas where we as ISCA family are bringing prosperity to our local area, we think of all the people who are serving God, like Ian Miller, the police chaplain, Andy, connecting church leaders across the city, Denise and Karina, in the schools mentoring, Margaret Pete, who set up the homework club, Barb, who's been a visitor in the hospitals, Sim and Christina, working with the children and the young people, and loads of people volunteering at the Beacon and in the church serving God. But it's also people like Mark working in, as an engineer, in an engineering firm, being upright and honest in his dealings with clients and team. It's like Martin working in RD&E, showing God's love to the patients. It's Sue Barnes working in Sainsbury's, praying under a Beth as people go through the till. It's grandparents looking after their grandchildren so the parents can work. It might be Peter when he's not got COVID, in school, standing up for other pupils who've been bullied. It might be Daniel praying for his school friends to know Jesus. It could be Lucas inviting his friends to ISCA Launch Club. It might be Naomi showing love to her friends at school. There are so many ways of bringing God's prosperity to those around us. But I just want to make a warning. I just want to flag up. We can so easily merge in with the culture. We can be seen as nice people, bringing love and peace to all around us. Jesus calls us to be different. We are to be light in a dark world. And this is, as we know, a very dark world. Just like the Israelites in the Old Testament, we're told to be different. We're told to stand out. Now, I've asked some of my friends to come and join me this morning, to come and share some of the ways that they share Jesus. And we've also got Ellie, who is hopefully zooming in. So while the others come up, can we try and flag up Ellie? Is that all right? So those of you who know who you are, do you want to come and join us?
Great to be invited.
Hey.
Hi.
So I've asked people to share, what is the good news about knowing Jesus? And secondly, how do you personally share Jesus with those around you? Ellie, do you want to share?
Sure. So first of all, the good news of Jesus, I think, is that like he saved us and that he gave kind of like a new hope, because like obviously we had God, but we didn't really have like any examples in human, like we never really saw a human like that's what to look out for, like that's what to be and to be like. I think that's a good example of like what he came and gave us, at least one of them.
And do you want to share how you share Jesus?
I usually like pray for my friends and for school, for just church, family in general, and the world. And then I also like share stories of Jesus and the Bible, like sometimes subtly, sometimes not, with my friends and other people that I know.
Cool. Thank you, Ellie. That's really lovely. Thank you. Laura, do you want to go next?
Hello. I think for me, the good news of Jesus is that I know that he's living in me every day. And it sounds really obvious, but I do. And yeah, it definitely helps. And that he wants a relationship with me and is constantly seeking that. And I think, especially in hard times, but in good times too, that just gives me hope, joy and peace. And next part?
Yeah.
Yep. And in terms of sharing with others, I think, yeah, like Ellie, subtly and not subtly, it's definitely happens. So I definitely share, yeah, that I'm a Christian and the impact that that's had on me with friends. But also, as a lot of you probably know, we live above a shop and have gotten to know the people that work in the shop very well. And I always make a point of smiling at them and asking how their days are, just to show that bit of joy. They haven't yet asked why, but I'm hoping they will soon.
That he came to save me and help me through my tricky times when I'm struggling at stuff. So like at school when I'm finding things quite hard at lunch or break, I can always know he will help me through that time. Well, when we were learning about Christianity in RE, I was always having my hand up, so telling loads of things that I do sort of show I'm a Christian.
Cool. Thank you, Emma. Okay. All right, so I'm sort of saying similar to what Ellie said, really, that the best thing about Jesus is that sort of contrary to how we're told to think about ourselves in the world, then you've got to be this kind of individual, you've got to decide what type of person you are and all the sort of different workplaces that you fit in and how you dress and what you like, and you've got to be in these little, especially sort of people in high school and stuff, you've got to fit into one of those kind of bits to survive, and that's how you're going to live. But actually, the ultimate example of how to live and how to do life as a human is Jesus, and that's like over 2,000 years ago, but still the best way to go. So that's good news. And I share Jesus in four different places. So it is entirely limited to home, with my family, my kids, work, because that's kind of, you see them people as much as your family, don't you? Church, and everywhere else. So yeah, I spend a lot of time at work with my colleagues, and there are always opportunities. You've got the daily, just trying to kind of live right, and that's quite a lot different to how a lot of my colleagues live. And then there are the moments when you sort of have to, you can seize the moment. You can see someone's really going through something, and you can offer a different way how you would come at that situation. And you know, I've prayed with colleagues before in that situation, or just told them that I will, but yeah, you'd sense how it is in the moment. But there's, you know, you need to be willing to actually think this is the time to sort of put yourself on the line a bit. Right. That wasn't a one-liner, sorry.
My life has been turned upside down in the last few years, as you will know, and I was looking for a verse that came to my head when you were asking me to do this one-liner, which is more than one line. And basically, the Lord is my rock. Because every time something changed, got more difficult, I just had to trust God for that situation. And he was always there, even though I might not feel like it. It was just the knowledge that the Lord was in charge of what was happening. So that's my first one-liner. Okay. When it comes to sharing with people, I'd like to evaluate my life like John does, but it was just two things that came to mind. Okay, I'm very involved in knowing my neighbours and being involved with my neighbours, and I make no bones about what I get up to when it comes to things like cross lines, so they're constantly giving me clothes for the homeless and things like that. And the fact I'm involved in a church, and the church have been very supportive. I don't preach at them. I just am with them. And obviously, when conversations are difficult, I try to keep the straight and narrow way, whatever we're doing, because, yes. And the other thing, which is completely separate to that, is I have elderly friends, one of whom is in a care home. And although her Christian commitment, I wouldn't like to know where it is, I often offer, when I phone her up, to pray with her on the phone. And she, you know, she just says yes. So that is another way in which I communicate with people, even though I don't see her very often. Okay?
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. That was really great. So we have a hope and a future, and it affects our lives now, and it will affect our future. Jesus can affect other people's lives too, but often they don't know him and they're totally unaware. So how do we bring peace and prosperity to our city? We share our hope and our future, and we introduce them to Jesus. I would like to challenge us at the start of this year to step out, up and step out. And this is very much a challenge for me too. Often when we think of sharing Jesus, we think of scary ways to share him, like talking to strangers on the bus. But God puts us in community and family, and he has given you people around you to share him with. And sometimes that's even more scary, sharing it with people we know and love. But if that is scary to you, I want to encourage you. Let's take one step. Let's ask God for a natural way to share him this week. And keep asking him until you get a chance to do it. Tell him if you're scared, because he knows. But I believe he will surprise you when we are willing to do his will. Then when you've had one of those opportunities, can I encourage you to share it with others? Tell your discipleship group. Tell people here next week at church. Because then it encourages more of us to ask for those opportunities and share Jesus. And it could even become contagious. So I'd like to ask you to do something brave today. And if you want Jesus to help you share his prosperity, his good news with those around you this week, will you stand with me in a minute and allow me to pray for us? So if you would like that, if you would like me to pray for you, please feel free to stand now. And I'm going to pray that God gives us natural opportunities to share him, the courage to step out, and that our friends and our family will come to Jesus. Let us pray.